This is my home. And when you come in here, treat me with respect and address me with a civil tongue.
Oh, why don't you shut up?
How about it, Ralphie boy? Would you like to join us, denizens of the deep? Testing, hot out, bound car, 1, 2, 3, 4. You on the air?
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and raccoonettes. What's happening, all you hurricanes, you Bensonhurst bombers, and all you brothers Stanley Saxons of the world? You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal, Louis Fats.
Get the bag.
The only discussion-based podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the Non-Productive Studios in Clifton, New Jersey. So if you want, subscribe to the show. Go on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review. And if you're listening on that, you can also just listen on the Non-Productive site. That's non-productive.com/honeymooners. And don't forget to like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. And this is our, even though this is episode number 13, this is our first episode where we actually have a guest.
Yeah.
It's not just me and you in here rattling our brains out, talking about the show. And it's my pal, comedian Joe Fernandez.
And away we go.
Yes, exactly. And Joe, I picked Joe only because...
That was so hacky what I just did. I was like, I had to do it.
You should have done a bang. Why don't you do Bang Zoom? I mean,
Bang Zoom.
Or To the Moon, to the Alice. Moon. That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Nobody ever heard the Moon part.
Yeah. Never.
He went one step high and said, hello, Bull.
Just being near Joe Conti makes me feel hacky.
Yeah, so my pal Joe Fernandez, a great comedian. He does a lot of things. He's got his own YouTube channel that has a bunch of different things going on, and he's got his own podcast, All in Our Heads. And Joe is what we call a DEFCON like 2.5.
That's high.
Like Joe,
that's high.
Joe is one of the few guys that if we're all hanging out and I say some sort of reference to the show, he knows it.
Perfect.
Joe knows it, and Joe will do them also. And it's not, like you said, hello, ball, and bang, zoom. You know, Joe knows the top hand, left hand drawer. So I said, you know what? We got to have Joey come in and hang out with us as we do episode number 13.
Damn, and 13.
I know. Oof, man. I know. We're actually having fun doing this. Yeah. And it's cool to actually have people respond and say, hey, we like the show.
Yeah.
Or in one case, I don't like the show anymore. And we'll get into that later on. We've already got our critic who says, it's another stinker. We'll get into that later.
It's good to have critics.
Yeah. Well, listen, as you know, Joe,
that means people are paying attention.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But I'm enough of a critic of my own self to, I don't think I ever have a problem with delusion. I'm always, every time I listen to this show, I'm just like, oh, Louis sounds so good. And all I'm doing is going, I'm just so critical of myself. But
I just can't believe I drove to Clifton 13 times.
I know, Louis retired. This is the most exciting thing he does. Yeah, it's like this and what, going to ShopRite?
ShopRite, yeah. Which I'm going to go to after the shop.
Oh, okay.
Good. Wow. I do not look forward to retirement.
Yeah. But since you're our first guest, and since we've all discussed how we became fans of the show, you might as well give us your little story. I mean, it doesn't have to actually be a story, but, you know, how you became a big fan of the show.
I just used to watch them with my grandmother late at night, my grandparents.
Really?
Because I had insomnia as a kid. My grandmother had insomnia. I'd wake up and watch it with her, Channel 11.
That's great.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Was it during a time when it was like that? And then, because when I first started really watching, it was them. And then Star Trek would come on afterwards.
I used to try to fall asleep before Star Trek because the opening credit music used to scare the shit out of me. I heard it, I couldn't go to bed.
Right. And I have to bleep that out because we're doing
clean.
Watched
Twilight Zone.
Yes, the Twilight Zone. that's when I started listening, when I really started. The first time I might have remember seeing it was late 80s. I was just in high school, and that's about the same time when Star Trek was on, and I would check then that.
Yeah, the Yankees were on Channel 11.
Okay,
and then the news, then yeah. The Honeymooners.
The Honeymooners and The Odd Couple when I started watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to watch The Odd Couple, too.
The Odd Couple was that hour. I always call it the greatest hour of television.
Yeah, I don't find it that to be as good in my later years as The Honeymooners. The Honeymooners still makes me laugh, but The Odd Couple, yeah. I watch it. Doesn't make me laugh as much as it used to.
Okay. I could see that.
But well, we're not doing an Odd Couple.
We could just cut this episode short and just let Joe leave. It was nice talking to you there, Fernandez.
I'm just saying. I feel the Honeymooners...
Well,
is more timeless.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Than The Odd Couple.
Yes. Yes. There's definitely very. We mentioned that there's a couple of references, like when they talk about Mambo, and there's certain things that are like based on that time.
Yeah, the time period. Yeah.
But besides that, you know, Joe's right. It's timeless.
It is timeless. It's just,
and it's just one of those where you could
down
just
to earth, comedy.
Watch it.
It's
every day.
Like we do right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in the shop, right?
Yeah.
I've had people tell me they don't like the Honeymooners, and then I watch it with them, and they're laughing in front of me. I'm like, see, you think you don't like it because it's old. You're like, I don't like that. But when you watch it, you can't help but laugh. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the old thing because it's in black and white.
Black and white thing, too, yeah.
But we always used to say that some people, because Ralph was such a rough type of a character, he's always yelling and screaming at Al. Some people didn't like that. Mm-hmm. He wasn't as likable as like an Ed Norton. But if you just watch the show,
right,
like you said, boom, you're just going to enjoy it. You're just going to love it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm jealous of somebody who's never seen it. Like, can you imagine getting to watch it for the first time? That would be so great.
What was like that clip we were sent from Back to the Future when they're sitting at the table?
Right.
And they're actually watching the show as it's airing.
Airing, like, for the first time.
Yeah, he's telling them what's going to happen.
And he's like, yeah, and this is a rerun. Yeah, and they were like, what's a rerun?
Yeah,
exactly. And if it was 1979, they would have known that he was a character on What's Happening. But, forget about all that. But, yeah. So what I wanted to play first is we actually have a voicemail from one of our listeners.
I haven't heard this, so this is going
to
be new to me, too.
And he's our pal, Gary.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he wants to go.
The only person who's ever emailed us.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gary.
I don't know if he wanted to use his last name or not, but...
we've had two emails, and they're both from Gary.
Both from Gary, yeah. Yeah, because we have a new... His email, not because of this show. This has always been his email. Before. Tell Fernandez what your email is.
BangZoom1956@gmail.com. And I had that. It's one of my emails before we even thought up this thing. That was my email. So we're going to use it.
That's a year of his birth and also, you know.
Bang Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
Hilarious. Had nothing to do with the show.
It was all about him and his ex-wife. So I kind of edited it down because Gary got a little humming as he said, and he goes, "Look, if you need to edit it down a little bit, but
we have his permission."
Yeah, but it's a quick little email and then a trivia question that he wants to give to us. All right, here we go.
Hello, Louie. Hello, Joe. You're both a menace. You're both a menace to society, and you're a stupid head. But I'm glad to call you my friends. I remember first getting into the Honeymooners around 1975. I was a 16-year-old kid, and I got my first restaurant job, didn't even have a car yet, but I would run home every night to catch my two favorite shows on WFLD Channel 32 in Chicago. The Honeymooners, followed by You Bet Your Life, never missed an episode. They ran one episode every night of both shows, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Not bad.
You bet you like. That's Groucho Marx. Groucho Marx show, isn't it?
Is that the reruns
of the Groucho Marx show?
I don't. When I heard You Bet Your Life, I wasn't sure what that was. And what's that, the 70s?
No, Groucho, that was way back.
I was born in the 70s.
That was way back.
Idea.
No, the Groucho Marx show was way back. It's black and white 60s.
So
it
must have been early 60s.
Yeah, early 60s. Late 50s, 60s, I would think, yeah.
Wow. See, I didn't know that. So now. And there's something very funny about the trivia that he's about to give us.
Okay.
You'll see what happens when he does it. This is Gary giving us a trivia question.
Good morning, Louie and Joe. I have a trivia question for you. As both of you know, I'm a huge Twilight Zone fan. Can either one of you or your listeners tell me the Twilight Zone connection between Art Carney and Jackie Gleason. Please stay tuned for a short pause.
Now, wait a minute. I'm pausing this now, right?
Okay.
He left like a 30-second pause in there so we can have
could have left a 30-day pause. I'm still not going to get it. I have no idea.
But the point was, yeah, he didn't realize I could have just paused this.
Yeah.
he actually waited, and I edited it down.
Right.
Because I'm sitting there like, dude, he's making me wait like 30 seconds. Like, it's all in real time here. And so you don't know what the connection
no,
is
I
here.
Don't.
Do you know what the connection is?
I have no idea.
The only thing I knew was that Art Carney was in the one episode of the Twilight Zone mm-hmm. where he played Santa Claus. I think it's called the Meek or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah.
That's all I knew. And
that was an occasional
hopefully Twilight, somebody yeah. got it right. The answer to the question is Art Carney played in a Twilight Zone episode, Night of the Meek. And Jackie Gleason starred in Rod Serling's Requiem for a Heavyweight.
Yeah, so Rod Serling, I guess, because oh, God, that, was his,
the, yeah,
that was his
he
movie.
Was, yeah, that was
right,
his thing.
Right, so it, okay. obviously, right, but so that was the connection. Right.
Rod Serling.
Okay. But Rod Serling connection, not a Twilight Zone connection.
No. Well, yeah, I guess, it would be, because Rod Serling is creator of the Twilight Zone. But I just love the fact that he was so kind to give me all of that time.
30 seconds.
Like, we're going to play this live and not pause
like
it.
Dead air. 30 seconds.
But thank you, Gary.
Way to go, Gary.
Our pal.
Keep those emails coming.
Yes. But thank you, Gary, for the trivia and also for the kind words. We appreciate it. And you're always a big help on the on Facebook and all the Honeymooners. The groups that we have. So, we wanted to do a new bit, sort of, and Joe is going to be able to have fun with this also. And this is something that we just started, and you might recognize the person whose voice is on the intro. And it's this.
The Honeymooners podcast presents Whatever Happened To. The boys go deep into their shallow minds and try to imagine what would have happened to certain situations in the show if the episode had a to be continued or a part two. Yeah, I know. Joe and Louie need real jobs. And now here's Whatever Happened To.
All right. So our first segment of Whatever Happened To is going to be from the episode Funny Money, where he finds the money on the bus.
One of my favorites.
Right. And at one point, he's got all the money, and he's putting in a phone, and he decides to make a phone call to his boss.
His boss.
Yeah, Mr. Marshall.
Marshall at the time, yeah.
And,
I know, I'll call Marshall, my boss. Hello, Mr. Marshall.
Director.
This is Ralph Cramden. Yes, yes. Oh, I called to tell you that I quit. That's right. Oh, and furthermore, you are a bum.
Yes, and then at the end of the episode, you hear, and basically Ralph, because he forgets that he quit.
Yeah, yeah.
And Alice reminds him.
Anyway, so what? I didn't get in any trouble. There was no harm done. I explained to the cops how I got the money, and they let me go. So what did I do? What did I do?
What did I do?
You think that's all there is to
it?
I'm
laying in air for 2 days.
Yeah, it's all I can see.
What about quitting your job, Ralph? Or was that nothing?
Forgot about that.
Yeah. I suppose you forgot that all this stuff has to go back, too. Every bit of it. All that is, except your suits, Ralph.
Great line.
The tailor can't take those back. He doesn't know any elephants that need a new water. But according to you, Ralph,
nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
So now this is this was actually referenced in a Family Guy.
Oh, really?
Episode. Okay. Where they reference the fact that they, because something happened in there, and they go, so what about, like, when Ralph lost his job on the Honeymooners? Like, what happened after that? And in this, we kind of, you know, go into the fantasy world a little bit and wonder, like, what did he do? Like, he can't just come in the next day and, you know, Monday and be like, look, I had a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
I, you know, I mean, he called his boss a bum.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
Yeah, not only did he didn't just quit. He called him a bum. I love that he had a direct line right to the boss. Just bypass right to the secretary.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that, right? Just get right to the boss.
Right to the top.
It's a poison call. You mean Mr. Marshall? But yeah, it was just like, all right, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to insult the guy who has my paycheck. Yeah. And now, for some reason, next show, he's got a job.
He's driving a bus on Madison Avenue.
He's driving a bus on Madison Avenue. Like, what did he do?
Helping Mary Monahan on and off?
He did Costanza. He just went to work like nothing happened.
And hopefully everybody forgot.
Yeah, he just got on the bus.
They were like, what are you doing here? Like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. I didn't call you. That was my evil twin.
Yeah, prove my culture. Where'd I get the money for a phone? I'm a bus driver.
Yeah, I don't have a phone. You know that. You remember when you always had to have a Meyer had to call in?
Right? Freddie Muller had to come up and
Freddie
tell him.
Freddie Muller had to come up and tell him that he needed to. I'm sick of walking three. Can you imagine? He said he walked 3 miles out of his way to tell him that, you know, to give him a message that he didn't have a phone.
Yeah.
3 miles. I wouldn't walk three miles. For any of my friends.
No.
I wouldn't. You couldn't.
But yeah, it's just kind of funny how it just, and obviously, as we always say, these are all like, what do we call them?
We call them standalones.
Standalones. They don't really connect. It's not a connecting story like in a lot of.
Yeah, the next week doesn't matter what happened in the previous week.
It's right. You just know the characters and you know what they all do.
Yeah.
But it just great. I like that. He's like, what do you mean? I didn't call you. Mr. Marshall, I would never call you a bum.
Yeah.
So, we were just wondering, like, you know, what? And when he got the job back, like, did he take a pay cut? You know, like, there's so many different things you want
to
know.
He went down to $60 a week.
Yeah, instead of $62 a week. Right. He lost $2 a week. And, but yeah, so, and I think right before the we went before Joe got here, you were saying something about the job. I forgot. I said, I told you to stop talking about it.
You stopped me, and I forgot what.
Right, you forgot what you were talking about.
No, I think it was the bum part.
Yes,
because basically saying like, okay, you call him up, so I quit. Okay, no big deal.
Right,
he goes back the next day, explains himself, and blah blah blah, and gets it. But he calls him a bum.
And it's 1956. It's the worst thing you could call
somebody back then. Yeah,
right, back then. I mean, you couldn't say any curse words or anything like that.
Even though Ralph was in the union, there was nobody protecting him back then. You know?
I wonder if there you think that was a union?
He said it when he was doing income tax.
Oh, that's right. Union dues.
Union dues. Norton had union dues. Ralph had union dues,
I wonder if he had to go to his, shop steward?
Shop stewards, yeah.
Could you imagine the shop steward?
Probably Freddie Muller.
Freddie Muller. By the way, he's obsessed with the guy George Petrie who played Freddie Muller. It's like his favorite character besides the main characters. And I think he just likes the name
Freddie Muller. It's great.
He loves the name Freddie Muller.
Like, if I saw George Petrie and I was getting his autograph, I'd say, can you sign that Freddie Muller?
Yeah.
I wouldn't ask for George Petrie.
Well, you're like one of those idiots that watches a show and the person's a villain in the show and you see the actor and you get mad at them.
Yeah.
There's been known people who were like, oh, I can't believe you did that to somebody. Yeah, and they were like, how do you not know this is...
Was that the one that he invited over to one time to be like his new best friend? Like when he
That's Teddy Oberman.
Teddy Oberman. Yes. Okay.
Another great one-and-done character.
Yes. He was only in there one time,
one time.
And he was great.
Great. Another guy who gets a laugh when he just appears on stage. Just for looking the way he looks.
Because I think you knew he looked like... Ed Norton.
Yeah, kind, supposed to give like that Norton kind of, you know, vibe. Yeah, yeah.
And of course he goes into the kitchen.
Right into,
and he just starts just biting into food.
Yeah, like
you know, not cutting it up. He's just biting.
He had like chicken legs.
Yeah, yeah. He started
that salami thing.
Yeah, that salami thing.
Bites into the
food. Yeah, who bites off a salami?
Who bites into yourself? It's not your house. This is the Crampton residence. He grabs a big salami and just, and he goes, "Very nice meeting you too."
Alice, it's nice to meet you. And he goes, and since I, and nice to meet you too, he puts the celery in his mouth and then says, nice to meet you too.
Yes.
Who's that one actor that like plays multiple, like, it was like his friend. He was also like the robber.
This is the guy. George Petrie.
That's Freddie Miller. He's like everything.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. We're, yeah.
He was the announcer on the $99,000 question. Like, hey, yeah. Bert, yeah. Who's the next guy?
Tom. Tell us what your name. Tom.
Tom. He was also
Captain Video.
Yes, we go from Captain Video where we go to the moon,
Pluto and the moon.
And he also played the doctor when he was sleepwalking.
Yeah,
he played the.
He also played a minor one too. He played the janitor at the dog pound.
Oh, that's right. The old guy.
The old guy comes. Can I help you, Mister?
And he played the guy at the newspaper, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's
Dick
his name?
Gersh. Richard Gersh.
Yeah, he's a nut dude. Yeah, Dick Gersh. Yeah, he remembers that. Yeah, he knows that. It's frightening. Joe's looking at me like, oh, my God, lose a nut.
Dick Gersh's office room, 1623.
16th. See what I mean? Lou has almost 800 questions that he's working on a book.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's all just the 39. This is.
And I got rid of a couple.
You got rid of a couple?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because we started doing trivia on the show, and we always forget to do the trivia question. But
which we forgot again.
We did forget to do the trivia. Do you have a trivia?
I'll get one. I'll think of something.
You'll think of something at the end of the show? Yeah. All right. But, you know, I told Louie, like, that's what I liked about Joe. And Joe will sometimes throw in a line at me, and he'll always throw me like, oh, wow, yeah, Joe really does know this show. He's not a nut, you know, like a complete nut like you or me, but he's close, you know? And and he doesn't even, like obsess on it like the way we do, but he knows a lot about the actual show.
Just throws those lines out in an everyday situation.
Yeah.
Like we do.
You're the only one I do it to, because you're the only one I know likes the Honeymooners.
Yeah, he only does it to me, and I only do it to him. Because
when we take our wives out, some men are doing some eating.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just, just change up the line a little bit.
It's always changing it up to fit whatever situation you're in. Yeah.
There's more where that came from. Plenty more where that came from. I do that on stage sometimes if I'm bombing.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but only a few people will know. No. You know, I'll be like, hey. There's plenty more where that came from. And then, like, there'll be, like, three older people hey! It's, like, the best laugh I got of the night. An old Gleason reference.
Which is from Funny Money?
Yes. Yeah.
Plenty more where that came from.
There's plenty more
where that came from.
Yes. So, we're going to do this other thing real quick. And this was something you text me today. And said, we got to try
this.
Yeah,
it was this morning. I just thought of it.
We got to try it. And I think it's a great...
Well, I was clipping my coupons for the shop
right. Right. You always seem to be clipping coupons before we do the show. And these are flubs. And we did an episode where we did a couple of flubs. But this time we're going to do... we're going to battle two... We're going to do two flubs. And
like spy versus spy.
Yeah, and I guess we'll do like a little thing where we can ask them which one they like better.
Yeah.
And... We'll have them, they can either email you.
Email me.
Or they can send a message to me on Facebook, or they go to the Honeymooners podcast fan page and put which one they like. All right? Cool. So there are two flubs, and I think Joe knows, I'm not sure if Joe remembers this one, but the one is Uncle Leo when he hurt his back, and you know, when he goes, it's good to see you, and he smacks him in the back. Right before that, he tells them that he wishes they would come up to, can't wait to have you guys come up to Utica. And it's great the way he says Utica.
You kids have got to come up to Utah sometime around Christmas. And Sarah will just love to have you.
I've never heard that. Oh, I've never recognized that before.
Oh, it's so great. Utica. Utica has seven syllables.
And the thing about it is he had said Utica before that. So you think he would have got it right the second time.
Yes.
Too, you know.
Yeah, but no, he did.
Beauty of live TV.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great. It's got to be one of the greatest flubs of all time.
Yeah, we'll play it again.
You kids have got to come up to Utica sometime around Christmas. And Sarah will just love to have
Sarah
you.
Sarah will just love to have you. It's like he's singing it. He's like, come up to Utica, you know. So that is one with Uncle Leo, and we're going to put that against the president of the Raccoon Lodge.
Mr. President.
He doesn't really have a name, right?
No.
It's Cliff Hall, the actor.
Cliff Hall, the actor.
And let's see. Here it is.
Brothers, this is getting us no place.
Getting us no place.
Let's face the facts. There must be plenty of eligible applicants. I couldn't think of the word.
And you know that wasn't, you know, that was real.
He couldn't think of the word.
He couldn't think of the word. And Gleason knew the word.
Well, yeah, he saved them.
And another guy who had previously said the word applicant.
Yes, he said it before.
So got Leo saying Utica and gets.
And then can't say it
the second time.
And then him.
Mr. President saying applicant.
Right.
Like 3 seconds ago.
And he also, he says it where he goes, the nuss, right? Where he says
yeah, nuss,
I'll play it again because I'm trying to think of what he's.
Brothers, this is getting us no place.
Getting us no place.
Let's
getting
face
us
the facts. There must be plenty of eligible applicants. I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't think of the word.
I love the way Gleason says it so angrily, frustrated.
Yeah, like hey, stupid. It's applicants. Applicant. You just said it like 8 seconds ago.
He's still in character. Yes. But like it, and it fits.
Yes, it
does.
It fits.
It's like it's seamless.
Yeah. And he says, sorry, sir, I couldn't think of the word.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, one of his brothers is sir. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, he's talking to Gleason. Yeah. He's like, sorry, sir. You know what I mean? Because he realized that he screwed it up. But
and I think, too, there's a visual on that, too. As Gleason just standing there before he says applicant, you have to actually watch him. Just the way he's standing there, like, you know, the blank look on his face.
Because
like,
he's expecting like, the word to come out.
Right, come on with the word. Can you come with this word now?
So it's for you guys to decide which flub.
The deciding vote.
Yes, the deciding vote. Which flub would you, which flub do you like more? Which one is more entertaining?
Yeah, it's one you like. It's not which one is better than you. It's one you like.
Yeah. So you can email Louie at bangzoom.
Bangzoom1956@gmail.com.
Right. Or you could send me a message on either Twitter or Facebook. Mm-hmm. And or you can go to Joe Fernandez's YouTube page and subscribe to Joe's YouTube page. And then on there, let them know which one you want. Tell them your YouTube page, Joe.
YouTube.com/Joe Fernandez. Fernandez with an S.
Yes.
Yes.
Joe's got
to tell
it
to everybody for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you have
Even like autocorrects. Like, you sure it's not a Z? I'm like, it's not a Z. I've owned this iPhone for years. How many times do I got to type my dumb name before this phone knows it's not a Z? I'm just going to become Spanish. Fuck it. It's easier.
Portuguese?
Portuguese, yeah.
Okay.
Half Portuguese.
All right. Real quick, we had one of our listeners. I'll just give this first name, even though I took this from Facebook, so it's not like you know his last name. But it was Ira, who was a listener who loved the show the first few episodes.
Yeah, he was good up to number 10,
and about number 10, he got very annoyed with us, and I'm just going to read you what he wrote to us. And not because we're going to, you know, all I'm going to do is play one or two things just to kind of. Just for ourselves, just to say, hey, listen, this is why we did this.
Yeah, kind of questioned ourselves after.
Right.
Are we wrong? Because we're never wrong.
Right, and if it's an opinion on like whether you think something's funny or not,
that's
different,
that's
you know.
Opinion,
but when it comes to factual stuff about the show, you know, it's like, I don't know, if it's like off by something, who cares?
Yeah.
But I want to give him the respect to just say, all right, this is what he sent us. And it's, seriously, guys, another stinker, which is I got to give him credit.
Another means we had a previous stinker that we didn't know about.
That's a great opening line.
It is a great opening line.
Serious.
Though, right?
Yeah. Like I want to like let's get serious here for a moment. Yeah. Like, all, yeah, kidding aside,
all kidding aside. All kidding folks, aside. All kidding aside.
We started with greetings.
This is not a love letter.
Yeah, yeah. Let me. So, and he's got him numbered too. And he put number one, the parrot was a fake parrot. Because I wasn't sure in the one with the fortune. Right? Mm. I couldn't tell that if it was fake or not. He goes, the parrot was a fake parrot. You couldn't tell that after watching it 100 times. Okay. You know,
I'll give him that.
Call me stupid. I don't know. I couldn't tell. Now, I said that parrots, the reason why people leave parrots, and this is true in wills and stuff, because they live a long time. Sometimes they outlive the owner. And I said they live to be 100 years old, 120 years old, which I was incorrect.
Ballparking it?
I thought it was, I got them confused with turtles. That's what I did. But
well, there's those other
common,
birds.
Very common mistakes.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
They have the same wings.
Yeah. It's those, I do that all the time.
It's those other birds that live long. Those macaws and you know
well,
those.
That's the thing.
That's the bird you were actually thinking about.
So he said parrots don't live 120 years, and you're claiming accuracy in connection with the will. A parrot can maybe live 35 to 50 years if it's perfectly cared for. Well, there are some parrots that live up to 75.
All right.
So and the point was, I was just saying that hey, that they're staying in within facts. Say hey. The reason why they're giving this parrot to somebody, the thing outlived her. And mm-hmm. it's not like it's a dog. You'd be like, a dog's not going to outlive.
10 years, 15 years.
Yeah, 75 is a long time.
Long time.
You have to get that parrot at birth.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to the world. Here's your parrot.
Yeah, yes.
Exactly. Hopefully you outlive it.
Yes. Here's your first birthday. And
if I ever have a kid,
you.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you give him a parrot.
A parrot the first day.
Yeah, when you come home.
Giving somebody a savings bond that matures in 75 years.
Yeah, you'd be in the hospital room, mother, baby, parrot.
Now, in the same episode with Mrs. Monahan, the old lady, I had said that that they even talked about her in the paper.
Yeah.
Because they talked about like the $40 million. Yeah. And so, you know, it must have been a big deal, you know.
Yeah, they mentioned her nephew, Robert Hilliard Brown.
So he put number three. They never said Mrs. Monahan's death was in the newspaper. And it was. And here it is.
What are you talking about, Hundred? She's leaving $40 million, didn't you see? Said in the papers this morning she's only got one other relative. One living relative. A nephew. And she doesn't like him. The paper said she had no use for him.
So
it wasn't a paper.
It wasn't a paper, all right? I just wanted to...
I like how the paper said she had no use for him. Yeah, like...
Is the editor of the paper?
The paper
the
said
Daily News.
She thought he was a bum.
But they would even like she must have really hated him. Like, make sure you print this when I die. I have no use for him.
Some editorial right there. there's a line that we talked about with Trixie where she prematurely said a line that kind of like she. It basically screwed up the timing of her joke because Ed said something and then she said a line, but she didn't wait for the laughter to kind of die down after what he said. Mm. And so he goes, she didn't prematurely say that's another reason before Norton's laughter died down. Since when does an actor, now Joe is an actor, by the way.
Okay.
Since when does an actor wait until all the laughter dies down before delivering the next line? And because of time constraints, come on.
Right. Well, we didn't say that you had to wait for all the laughter.
Right.
It's just
that there was a second. She would have waited because there was still laughter and she had a funny line.
Yeah.
Well, and it just kind of threw it off a little bit.
Yeah, because she's stepping over the laughter. You don't hear it.
Stepping over your line.
Yeah, basically it was.
Right. So we basically and we have something in the show where somebody does
that
exact same thing. And it's the mother-in-law. Here we go.
And he's so tall and slim. I guess a man doesn't have to get fat if he doesn't want to.
She did the same thing. So it's like, you know.
You don't want people repeating lines, but.
Like, I get it. Look, if you want to say the show stinks or it's not funny or. But when you nitpick about certain things, it's like, dude, this is the reason why we said this because we've seen that.
You know, if Trixie says in that line, she says, that's another reason. If she said, and that's another reason, it would have been perfect. Because the True. End part would have been as the laughter's dying down.
Right.
And another reason
right.
would have been
right.
out there.
Yeah.
And not and, stepped on.
Yeah. And everybody who's listened to past shows, they know yeah. the episodes and they know the, oh, yeah. what we're talking about. Now, this is a little weird. Because in that moment, he was saying, hey, don't I get... Because Ralph came home and gave Alice like a big kiss. And Ed was like, hey, don't I, you know, don't I get any? And she goes, I'm tired. And he goes, I work in a sewer for 8 hours and you're tired. And she goes, and that's another reason. Because we may, you know, because yeah. he stinks, right? So we said, you know, he probably yeah, has a little bit of a stench to him. I mean, we're doing a show where we're not cursing or anything like that. So he goes... And you say he's smelly because he's been working and sweating. There's blank in a sewer. Where do you think blank goes? I'm like, yeah, I know.
We know that.
Do we? We didn't want to have to be that descriptive to say that he smells like, you know, human, whatever. Yeah. It was like, you know, so you're being really, really
picky
on some of the things that we're just having fun with. Yeah. And then Age of Chivalry, which one of the jokes she did, wasn't great. Her delivery wasn't great. You're losing it. I didn't know I ever had it.
You can't even lose it if you don't have it.
And when she said chicken chow mein, when he has chicken chow mein and pancakes, and potato pancakes.
Potato pancakes.
He goes, he got the potato pancakes from Freetags.
Yeah.
But I never heard of Freetags, but Louis.
Yeah, in the episode where they're locked in their apartment for the rent.
Increase.
Yeah, rent increase. And Ralph wants, they need food, so they have no food left. So Ralph devises this thing to go out the front window, you know, tie the sheets together. And he says, we go into Freitag's Delicatessen, buy stuff, and come right back up the sheets again. So that's where he gets Freitag's from.
Right. But
so now, really, Trixie can't make potato pancakes?
Right, because we said, hey, maybe Trixie made the potato pancakes. She got the, and he's yelling at us.
Matter of fact, later on, when I go to the shop, right, I'm gonna buy stuff and make potato pancakes tonight. Just to show him how easy it is.
And it's like he's getting mad at us because he's like, and she got the potato pancakes from Freitag's. I'm like, it's. I feel.
I'm going to get Freitag's takeout menu to see if he's got it on there.
He's hurting my feelings.
Yeah.
And then he put a head of the house line, which is one of the lines that she did in that episode. Big deal. They must have gotten a look at the label, question mark. You actually think that when she goes, he woke up.
The hat.
What do you think about him? He woke up at 2 in the morning. And he wanted to get a drink of water, and he woke me up so we could tip his hat before he leaves. We thought that was one of her best jokes. It was really funny. And he goes, you actually think the tip of the hat line has any significance? What significance?
It was to get a laugh.
We thought it was got her, funny.
This, exactly. This is the whole thing. And Joe says that. We're not saying that Trixie's lines are funny. These happen to be the funniest Trixie lines.
Right.
They're not really funny.
They're okay. We did,
but
the
that
top
last
five Trixie lines.
The one with the tip and hat got the biggest laugh.
Yes,
the biggest laugh out of anything she said.
It's a hilarious concept that he woke up. Yeah, that's how far he's taking it.
Yeah, like to be like, a gentleman. To be a gentleman.
Yeah. And then
because of Carlos Sanchez,
he finishes it up by saying, "Man, I'm about to jump ship on this podcast. You're wasting time with stupid stuff like tributes to Trixie." So, Ira, if you're listening to this one, I wish that it wasn't like this, but, you know, I don't know. It's a difference of opinion.
That's all it is, yeah.
But the difference of opinion is fine. But the
thing
that's
is, fine.
He's hammering us about these things, these factual things in a fantasy world that doesn't exist. You know what I mean? That's why we're doing this. This is a fantasy world.
It's all a waste of time. Everything. Yeah. Watching anything. Listening to anything.
Sure.
We're trying to waste time.
Exactly.
Trying to enjoy ourselves on the way to death.
That's the point of this podcast.
Joe watches the Jets. I
watch the Jets.
I know. Is there a bigger waste of time?
So, Ira, I hope we... I hope that you can still listen to the show because, you know, he said some really fine things about the show in the very beginning.
He really loved it in the beginning.
Maybe he was having a bad day.
Yeah,
he lives in Florida, and maybe somebody who maybe ate a box of Clorox or something attacked, you know, his neighbor or something. Because there's some weirdos.
Backyard, and it was an alligator there.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff always going on in Florida. Yeah. So, but yes, so, you know, that I just wanted to get that out there just to say, you know, we're just having fun here. You know, critique us on whether you think
he's interacting and he's giving you some.
That's good. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's why I did this. Yeah. If I was really mad, I would be like, you know, screw that guy. I'm not talking about him. But you know, he gave his opinions on stuff, which is he's passionate about the show. Mm-hmm.
I wish anything I put out there would hit people enough to get hate mail. I'd invite them over my house for dinner. I'd be like,
what do you think my wife's cooking?
Chicken,
huh?
For chicken chow mein and potato pancakes.
And potato pancakes. Oh, man. Well, listen, dude, we're at almost 38 minutes.
Oh, I thought so.
Yeah, I just knew. And especially I knew with
an added person.
Yeah, I knew with Joe here, it was going to go longer for sure. Joe, why don't you just promote your stuff, like your show and your YouTube page and all that?
While I'm thinking of a trivia question.
Yes, while you're thinking of a trivia question.
Go to youtube.com/JoeFernandez, Fernandez with an S, joefernandez.net to see where I'm performing live, and that's what I'm promoting.
And your show, In Our Heads.
On Our Heads, yeah, podcast. We've been on hiatus for a little bit, but we're hoping to bring it back. But yeah, there's a lot of old episodes you can check out on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yes. Awesome.
But the live videos on YouTube, you can watch us live.
So. Yes, which is something I'm actually trying to figure out because we want to do that with my other show. But, well, thanks again, Joe Fernandez, for coming in and doing the show. Louis, of course, my confidant, my... what is he saying in that episode? Yeah. My pal, no, my confidant. So we just want to thank a couple
of going to play punch bowl with you.
A couple of the Facebook groups we always like to thank because they allow us to promote on there. The Facebook group, the Honeymooners, and then the Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge, and the Honeymooners, the Classic 39 Episodes. And also our pal Edward Lillywhite Norton on Facebook. His Honeymooners Trivia Podcast is on iTunes. Check that out, and he's adding stuff to it. He's going to be updating it, so he's got about 50 episodes of trivia. Mm-hmm. You can backlog and listen to that. And I do my show, the Conti and Kenny Show, which is on Monday nights on morelikeradio.com. It's with me, my alcoholic partner Kenny, and a wrestler, Joey Image. So that's an interesting show there.
Yeah.
But thank you, everybody, for giving us a listen. And
let me do my trivia.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Being that we were talking about Uncle Leo before, we'll take it from, "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Okay.
When Uncle Leo comes up with the gift certificate.
Yes.
And, of course, in the transaction, Alice misses all this. But she comes up in later when Uncle Leo leaves.
Right.
And she says to Ralph, "Guess who I ran into downstairs?"
Oh, that's...
What's the kid's name that she ran into who thought, like, $25 gift certificate from...
Oh, and he goes 365 days a year. Yeah, and
this blank kid's got to go home from the Navy.
Tommy something?
Tommy. Hey, you're half there, Joe.
Yeah.
Come on. Tommy.
Tommy's.
They used the name Tommy 3 times.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. This is one of the times.
Oh, my God. I know it.
I can hear him. Tommy. I'm thinking like Tommy Brannigan or something, but it's not that.
No, it's Irish, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Tommy Mullins.
Tommy Mullins. That's right.
Because we had Tommy Monacotti, and we also had Tommy Doyle, the kid
Tommy
who,
Doyle, the $100.
The counterfeit $100.
$100. Oh, boy. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for giving us a listen. Episode number 13, the Honeymooners Podcast. Tell your friends about the show, share the links, do all of that, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.